Good morning, everyone. Like Steve said, I'm Renee. I'm one of the pastors here on staff. I pastor our 10:30 service that's called The Neighborhood that meets in the city of Chicago. All right, this is a picture of me when I was about 5 years old. I know, right? So cute. And according to my mother, I was the perfect child. I called her this week and she said that, and I was like, Mom, I don't believe that, and they're not going to believe that. So tell me a few more other things about who I was. And so, my mom, if you're not going to believe my mom that I was perfect, she said that she could also tell you that I was sweet. I had a great imagination, and that while I was very aware of what was going on around me, that I was also really innocent. I lived with my parents, my little brother, who was even cuter than I was. And then I got the coolest gift that I thought you could get, which was a little sister. And her name was Rachel. And Rachel was born with a few challenges, and so our young family adjusted and created a new normal. And we did our best. We went to the park, we celebrated birthdays, we had play dates, played in the backyard, kind of did your young family sort of thing. And it was a pretty sweet gig for my five-year-old self. It was a pretty perfect little world. Until, actually soon after this picture was taken, Rachel got very, very sick and then died. Death entered my perfect, predictable, safe little bubble. Death brought with it that hollow yet full of sorrow, that chaotic yet still, that empty yet heavy place that I know so many of you have experienced or are experiencing. This morning, we are continuing our series called The Gift of Hard Things. And this morning, we're talking about death. And for the last couple of weeks, we have looked at the hard things that happen in life, and we've held them out and we've said, what are the gifts that God gives us in this place? In disappointment, in loss, and burnout. If God is gracious, if God is present, if God is always teaching us something, then what could he possibly be giving us as gifts in the presence of death? And that's a really, really complicated question, complicated conversation to be having, because death changes everything. If we die, our life here on earth ends. If someone near us dies, someone that we love, our life is forever marked by their absence. Right? Our routines, our relationships, our plans for the future, the understanding of our own mortality, it all changes in the presence of death. Excuse me. Death even has the wingspan and the density, that thickness, to change how we see God. Death challenges our understanding of God because death so often seems like the moment when God didn't. When God didn't heal, didn't save, didn't protect, didn't prolong, didn't intervene, death simply often feels like the moment when God didn't show up. Right? But the storyline of the Bible, from the very beginning to the very, very end, tells a different story. The story that Noah and Ruth and Daniel in that lion's den can attest to. It's the story of the prophets and the stories of the disciples. And God said it this way to Joshua, I will never leave you or forsake you. Ever. Death does not push God away. In fact, death is not the absence of God. Death does not suffocate God's presence. Death is not too evil or too dark or too bleak for God. God is not afraid of death. God is not afraid of grief. God does not leave us during death. I will not leave you or forsake you is the cadence of the Bible. So what could possibly God extend to us in the presence of death? What does God offer us as gifts, if you will, in that place that is so painful and so hard? And so this morning, we're going to hold that question out in front of the text that is arguably the most familiar text that we recall in moments of death. Death is so disorienting, isn't it? Like, it's hard to do your normal life after death has occurred. Yet this seems to be the passage that never leaves our minds if we have it in there. And it's Psalm 23. If you know it, will you say it with me? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the presence of death, God offers us this. And so what does this psalm tell us? And the first thing I think is that God offers us companionship. He stands with us. I think one of the reasons we recall this psalm in moments of death or in the presence of death is because the God of this psalm feels like he's just an arm's length away. He doesn't feel far away. He feels like he's in the thick of it with us. He leads us beside still waters. He guides us in the paths of righteousness. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me right here. And I think sometimes it's really easy to kind of perceive God or understand God like we look at a lifeguard. Like someone who's removed from the situation, but available should we come close to drowning. Right? They're sitting on those tall white chairs, kind of looking out, but they're not in the thick of it with us. But I don't think that's true about God. God is not a lifeguard. When it comes to death, God is swimming in the water with us. He's swimming in our grief. He's carrying that load with us. He guides us. He leads us. He's teaching us. He grieves with us. God stands with us in death. Which is really hard to remember because in the presence of death, the question that always seems to come to mind is, where are you, God? Or where were you, God? Where were you when the car accident happened? Where were you when the gun was fired? Where were you when the fire was lit? Where were you when the person fell? Where were you, God? I carried that question for a very, very long time because I was convinced that I knew the answer. Where were you, God, when Rachel died? I was convinced that he wasn't there, and my pain proved it. How could I have so much pain if God was present? Until something kind of crazy happened last year. I was in a meeting. I was out of town. I was in a meeting. And I was sitting there kind of zoning out. And this meeting was not about death, nor was it about my life. Okay, so I was just zoning out. And I had this memory. And the memory was I was 5 years old. It was like the exact same age as that picture that I showed you at the beginning. And I was playing in the backyard of the house that we lived in when Rachel was alive. And I was using that kind of great imagination that my mom talks about. And I was playing house. Okay, and I was playing between our swing set and this little playhouse that we had. And I remember looking at myself in this memory, and I was 5 years old, and I felt really lonely and really sad. But more than that, I felt like no one could see me. It was kind of the lie that I carried around. That no one could see me. That they had missed me. And so in my meeting, holding this memory, I say to God, off the cuff and in a very rude voice, wasn't very respectful, I say to God, where were you? And it was rhetorical, okay? I wasn't expecting him to answer me back. In fact, I was too annoyed to hear the answer. So I just said it in this really rude way. Where were you? And I disconnected from the memory and proceeded with the meeting. Well, next morning, I'm waking up, and you know that awkward place between sleep and awake? Right? You're like trying to avoid the day and your alarm clock. I was right there in that place, and I had the memory again. Same memory, okay? Playing in the backyard. Except this time, all along the edge of the backyard are angels. Big ones. Tough ones. The kind of angels you want on your team. And they don't have their back to me. In fact, they're turned in towards me. And I'm there just playing my little five-year-old games. And they're sweet. They're kind. I mean, they're big and scary, but they're kind to me. And in fact, at one point, the edge of the ball like gets to the edge of the backyard and the angel kicks it back. It was playful. And I felt like God said, I was right there the whole time. I saw you. I loved you. I protected you. I even played with you. Holy moly. God stands with us in death. I couldn't see him in the moment. I couldn't even see him in my adult-sized pain. But he was there. And seeing him there has changed the way I understand that time in my life. Hear me say this. It did not change my pain. It did not change my story. It changed God's place in my story. And that's a big deal. That's a deal breaker. God stands with us in death, and we have the opportunity to say, where are you? And then for him to respond back. I will never leave you or forsake you. If that's true, then it's true in death. In death, God offers us care. Both for the person who's dying and for those that are left in grief, God offers us care. The Lord is my shepherd. A shepherd takes care of his sheep. He leads them, he guides them, he like navigates them to the good grass. And this is my favorite little shepherd factoid that I think about a lot. You know, at the end of the night, a shepherd takes his sheep and he puts them into this, like, I don't know, like corral or like sheep pen thing. And he puts all the sheep in there and then he closes the gate behind him and he lays down at the gate all night. The shepherd does that just in case anything tries to get in or anything tries to get out. The shepherd takes care of his sheep. The shepherd's not just there kind of like casually and poorly babysitting or making sure the sheep don't wander off or get them into trouble. The shepherd is there extending deep, long, lasting, thorough care. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He takes me to those green pastures. God extends care to us in death. At the end of 2016, a woman in my small group who had been living with cancer for a very long time goes for a routine doctor's visit, and the doctor says to her, there have been significant changes in your body and in your illness, and you have 6 months to live. Just like that. You have 6 months to live. This woman lived alone. She didn't have any family nearby. And she had come to our church a few years earlier. She had been baptized in October at our baptism Sunday. And now she was coming to the end of her life. So some of our small group and a few other friends, they all came to my house one morning. And we sat and we prayed and we talked and we cried. And we sat in that awkward silence that pain brings. And Jesus was with us. It was powerful, powerful. But when we finished, someone asked, what can we do for you? And someone got out a piece of paper and a pen. We just started to make a list of all the things this woman needed. They were really simple things. Go to Walgreens. Run to harvest time. Take her to the doctor. Help her go through some drawers. Make some phone calls. Well, turns out that there wasn't 6 months. My friend lived 4 more weeks. That was it. And I can't tell you, but in those 4 weeks, I saw God extend more care to this woman than I could have ever dreamed. She saw all of the important family members that she wanted to, that are spread across the country, okay? This really incredible way. All these important conversations that had to happen, happened. God provided in-home care, companionship to my friend, her affairs, everything that was important to her, even down to the like smallest detail, was taken care of. God even provided the dearest, most perfect companions to stand with her and witness her final breath. She wasn't alone. God took care of my friend. He was her shepherd. And God took care of us, the friends of us that were standing there, kind of watching and witnessing. Never before have I felt God's presence so powerfully and blanketed over a group of people. God kept us healthy, gave us energy, gave us ability to stand with her. God has stood with us in our grief. God takes care of us. God extends care to us in death, which is pretty remarkable when it often feels like death is the moment when God didn't. But instead, he extends us his care. We aren't alone in death. We don't stand unprotected in death. God takes care of us. And then somehow, in only a way that God can do, God stands there with us in our grief, in our pain, in our loss, in our panic and disorientation. And somehow he looks at all of those things, cares for all of those things, validates all of those places, and still says, I offer you life. God offers us life and death. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Death is not the end for God. There's so much more. And he's been preparing that way for a very, very long time. Jesus talked about it in front of his disciples when they started to get nervous about how this whole kingdom of God thing was going to play out. This is what Jesus said, John 14. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me, believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. And then there's Thomas. I think there's Thomas in all of us. Thomas said to Jesus, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how do we know the way? And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, God offers us life with him in his Father's house forever, and God is not casual about death. God is not unprepared when it comes to death. In fact, something has been prepared for you and prepared for me, and Jesus says, the invitation is to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a rich invitation. It's a splendid invitation. It's a good invitation. It's not a casual afterthought. Like, you know, sometimes people plan a party and they say, you know, like, well, just maybe you could swing by tomorrow. Maybe if you want to, we might have some food. We might not. It's like casual. No way. This is like a really good, wonderful invitation. That Jesus is saying, God has prepared this place. There are lots of rooms. This is going to be good. And then I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you to be with me. And we get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is rich. It's like going to a party of someone who's a great planner. You know those parties? Right? where they get every single detail right. They've thought of you. You get to the party and it's the things you like. God is a rich, thorough, caring planner. He's prepared for us. Death does not have to be the end. I think if there's a gift in death, it's that God offers us himself. His presence, his care, his plan for eternity. But it can be very, very hard to see it in the moment. Finding God when there has been death is very, very complicated. Feels a little bit like trying to read a map in the rain. In your head, you know where you're supposed to go. Maybe you have a sense of direction, maybe a destination. And you set out trying to figure out where God might be in this whole mess. And then all of a sudden, it's like the sky falls in on you and you can't make left from right. That's what grief is like, isn't it? Kind of bowls you over. Trying to find God in death, it's like trying to read a map in the rain. Doubt and anger and pain, questions, loneliness, all those things that come with death threaten to separate us, to pull us away from God. And what's true is that those things aren't bad. Doubt and anger and pain, frustration, questions, loneliness. That's the Psalms. You get to have all those feelings. You get to hold all that pain. But the challenge is to hold all those things and to stay tethered to Jesus. And so I think there's this really cool invitation to us to ask God two questions in the presence of death or in the memory of death. There are no quick fixes for this place, no one size fits all, no, you know, book that might solve all of our problems. But I do think that we're invited to ask two questions of God. And the first question that I think we get to ask is, where are you? Or where were you? You know, you can ask God where he was or where he is. I never knew you could do that. That's changed the narrative of my life, was to have asked that question. It's never too late. You get to go back and you get to say, God, where were you in that moment? You get to ask him and then you get to wait, see what he says. And the second question is, I think you can ask God how he felt about it. How did you feel when it happened? In Luke, there is this narrative of Jesus, and Jesus comes across a widow who has lost her only son. And I think it's becoming my favorite piece of scripture. And the way that Luke tells it is that Jesus has seen the body, and then he sees the widow. And this is my new favorite scripture verse. His heart went out to her. That's it. Jesus' heart went out to the woman in her grief. It's one of the most beautiful images of Jesus, in my opinion. His heart went out to her. Jesus didn't tell her to get over it or to read a book or go talk to someone about it so you could speed along the process. No way. He didn't shame the woman for her pain. He didn't shame the woman for her grief. Instead, his heart went out to her. He matched her. Jesus met her with tenderness and compassion. And God turns towards us, and his heart goes out to us in the same way. And so I think you can ask him, how did you feel, God, when it happened? And if you can't hear him in that place, because that place can be so tough to hear God in, I think you can say, Lord, what did your face look like? The band can start making their way back up. Death changes everything, doesn't it? Death is hard and it is painful and it is very, very complicated. But we don't have to walk through death alone. God walks with us. Band, you can come on up. God walks with us. It's not as if death walks in or death enters the space or our lives, and then God says, well, I've given you what I could give you, so figure it out. No way. The Lord is my shepherd. I will never leave you or forsake you. I'll stand with you. You know, I used to think that my story was a story of death, because after Rachel died, I have a list of other important people, too, that have died. So I just thought that was my story. But I've realized that death isn't my story, but it is where I met God. That's my story. I met Jesus in the presence of death. Some in the moment, and then some several years later. Like that memory of the big angels in the backyard. And you know what? The Jesus that I've met in death is abundantly gracious and generous in his mercy, in his compassion, in his tenderness, in his love towards me, each and every wave of grief, each and every memory. His heart goes out to me. His heart goes out to you. And so our charge as followers of Jesus is that we have to just receive it. Easier said than done, I know. But he's right there with us, just an arm's length away. He is the Jesus of Psalm 23. He will never leave us or forsake us. He is our gift in death. Will you stand with us as we sing this final song?